So, what if the belief that you are most certain of right now, the one you'd passionately defend, is actually just a hand-me-down?
Yeah, like something you just inherited without really thinking about it. Hello, everyone. Really excited to jump into this today.
Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. We are looking at day two of week 12, focusing on Law 12, which is believe as you wish, but know why you believe what you believe.
And our mission today is really to get you ready for the chapter distill exercise.
Right, exactly. We're going to break down the underlying mechanics of belief. That way you can strategically select the three specific bullet points that will form your daily practice this week.
Because to do that effectively, you really have to look at the biological warfare happening in your head when you try to audit those beliefs.
Biological warfare is a great way to put it. I mean, I see this constantly in my psychology seminars. We basically operate on this premise that belief without understanding is borrowed thinking. That's actually my first favorite bullet point from today's
Oh,
list.
it's a great point. It's just so common.
It really is. It's like wearing someone else's prescription glasses. You know, you think you're seeing the world clearly, but you're actually just adapting to their distortion.
And it might look smart to other people, but you're just stumbling around blindly.
Exactly. Which connects to my second favorite bullet, which is if you cannot argue both sides of an issue, you do not understand it. But here's what baffles me, and I want your take on this.
Okay, sure.
When I challenge my graduate students to take off those borrowed glasses, you know, to argue the opposing side of a core belief, they don't just struggle intellectually, they get visibly
Oh,
agitated.
yeah, physically uncomfortable.
Yes. From a physiological standpoint, why is it so incredibly uncomfortable to argue against our own deeply held identity, even just as an intellectual exercise? Like, why does it look like a full-blown panic attack?
Well, because biologically speaking, it is a panic attack. I mean, your brain is essentially this massive energy conservation machine.
Right, it wants to be lazy.
Exactly. It prioritizes efficiency. Processing new, contradictory information burned a massive amount of metabolic energy. So it relies on cognitive dissonance to force you back to baseline.
Which is the agonizing mental conflict of holding two opposing beliefs.
Right, and that brings up my first favorite bullet point from the list, which is that cognitive dissonance protects beliefs even when they are wrong.
Wow, so it's not about truth at all.
Not even a little bit. Think of it less as a generic firewall and more as an aggressive autocorrect feature in your brain. It automatically flags and just deletes any conceptual word it doesn't recognize, to maintain your internal stability.
So it's actively treating a new perspective like a corrupted file that just needs to be purged.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes another point from the distill list today even more dangerous. My second pick is the idea that emotion makes weak ideas feel strong and strong ideas feel personal.
Oh, I love that one. But wait, if the brain is just auto-correcting to save energy, where does that intense emotional attachment come from?
That is your amygdala stepping in. It's your brain's basic threat detector. The problem is, it hasn't evolved to differentiate between a physical threat, like a charging bear, and an intellectual threat.
Like someone completely dismantling your political worldview.
Precisely. When your beliefs are challenged, the amygdala triggers a stress response and floods your system with adrenaline.
So you're literally in fight or flight over a concept.
Yes. And that adrenaline rush completely bypasses the prefrontal cortex, the logical, analytical part of your brain.
That is wild.
Right. That's the physical mechanism of how emotion makes a weak idea feel intensely true. Your heart is racing, your palms are sweating, so your brain concludes, well, this must be a matter of survival.
Which means if you cannot argue both sides of an issue, you don't just misunderstand it. Your amygdala is literally preventing you from processing it.
Completely shutting it down.
Okay, so that brings us to how you, the listener, should actually evaluate the chapter distill list today. When you look at the full list of principles for Law 12, your instinct will be to pick the three points that validate you.
Oh, 100%. The ones that make you feel smart and right.
But if you do that, you're just putting those borrowed glasses right back on.
You're letting the autocorrect win.
Exactly, which is the exact opposite of today's goal. You need to hunt for the friction. Look for the points that trigger a little psychological discomfort, you know, the ones that make your heart rate tick up just a fraction.
But you have to trick your amygdala to do it. That's why the protocol for today's work is very specific. You need to read the entire list of distill points carefully three times before you select anything.
Wait, why three times? I mean, I'd normally assume repetition is just for memory retention.
Well, in this case, it's to bypass the threat response. The first time you read a challenging idea, your amygdala spikes.
Oh, and you reject it.
Right. But by the second and third pass, the novelty wears off, the adrenaline drops, and your prefrontal cortex comes back online. You allow your brain to process the underlying patterns.
So you're basically waiting out the alarm system.
Exactly. Only on that fourth pass are you neurologically calm enough to make your final three selections.
That makes so much sense. And once you make those selections on that fourth pass, your task is to write them into your daily practice list for this week's work.
And the work doesn't stop there. You need to review those 3 points 3 times a day, so morning, midday, and evening.
Because it takes that level of daily frequency to physically rewire those cognitive habits.
Yeah, you have to permanently overwrite the autocorrect, and that takes reps.
I love that. So before you dive into today's distill list, ask yourself this. What if the specific belief you are most terrified to question is exactly the one holding back your greatest intellectual breakthrough?